Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Nice to see you here this morning. Welcome to the house of God. Whether you're here in person, I'll say this because there are people on the internet, on Facebook, going around the world. This is broadcast around the world. So people will be tuning in far and wide. Everyone is welcome here this morning. Welcome to the house of God. The Lord says that he calls his saints together on a Sunday to worship him. Yes, did you know that the Bible calls and refers to each one of us that are believers saints? We are the saints of the Lord. The Bible, incidentally, also calls us sheep. Now, I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Now, don't panic. This is an easy question. So, if we are sheep, who is the shepherd?
Jesus.
Who are you going to worship this morning?
Jesus.
No. All right, so let's try that again. So, if we are the sheep, who is the shepherd?
Jesus.
Jesus, indeed. So, we're come together to give him praise and worship this morning because he is our shepherd and he is our provider. He gives us all things that we need, both physically and spiritually, and that's why we have come together this morning to give him honor, to give him thanks. And we're going to start with singing three songs together. Now, unusually, I'm going to tell you this morning each of the songs that we're going to do before we get to it, because we've got some surprises, some changes, some differences. So this first three songs that we're going to do, first one is Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. And then we're going to go straight into What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Now, we're going to start that in an upbeat tempo. All right? We're going to try and do that at the same tempo that we did Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. There's three verses to that song, but on the third verse, we're going to slow it right down. On the third verse, we're going to slow it right down, and then that's going to take us in to before the throne of God above. So let's stand and sing. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
and tells me of the guilt within. Upward I look and see him there, who made an end to all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. Oh God, the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. To look on him and pardon me. Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased with his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
Please take a seat. Before we go further, let's just offer up a prayer of thanks to the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for being such a good God to us, Lord. Your love for us is unknowable, the extent, the height, the depth, the width. Lord, who can know the extent of your love towards us, Lord? We thank you for opening up our eyes to see you, to come to you, to be able to hear your gospel message of salvation. Lord, that gospel message that told us how the Son of God left heaven, came down to earth, and ministered among us in the likeness of men. And though innocent of all sin and all charge, Lord, you hung on the cross. You died in our place. You offered up your life and your blood as a sacrifice and as a payment for our sin, that we might be set free, that we might hear your gospel message of redemption, Lord, and be set free from sin and death and have the promise of everlasting life with you. Lord, we are thankful. We are thankful that you have called us not just servants, but you have called us your friends. So any time that we have any issues in life, Lord, we can come to you. We thank you, Lord, that you are an approachable God, and that before your throne, Lord, we have all that we need in spirit and in life. Lord, thank you for all that you have done for us this morning, and we offer up our praise to you, and we ask that you would accept it and be thankful. And you would receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, before we go on to the period of time in the service where I ask a very important question, I'm sure you all know what question I'm talking about. It's usually, I'll probably put a notices in here, and I don't have any other notices other than, well, one really, and it just happens to be more of a clarification than anything else. I've had a number of people come up to me and send me messages as well saying, is digging deeper coming to an end? Well, I'm pleased to say that it is not coming to an end. All we've done is we've moved it from a Sunday evening time slot back to a midweek time slot. So when this session that we're doing on the Apostle Paul and his missionary journeys, when the last one will be in June, that will be the last session there, then there'll be a little bit of a break And then in October, we will resume again in a midweek session in the lounge. So everyone is welcome. Digging Deeper is not going away. It's just going to be taking a little break. So this is the time in the service that I ask that all-important question. Does any of our young people have... Before I ask the question properly, you might have noticed I've picked up a folder. I thought I'd make it a little bit more interesting this morning. Behind this folder, I'm going to have my hand as I ask the question, and a number of fingers are going to be raised, right? And that's me, by the power of guesswork alone, I'm going to guess just how many people have got, how many youngsters have got a birthday this morning, all right? So here we go. Right, I've got my fingers on there. All right, so how many young people this morning in the house of the Lord have got a birthday?
Seven.
No, I haven't got seven. Stop it. Any young people, right? Like, this could be as young as 1 year old. All right? Days old. No. No one. Right, power of guesswork didn't work really well then, did it? I was being optimistic, I know. But, you know, if you can't be optimistic at church, where can you be optimistic? All right, so any adults have a birthday? How many? Raise of hands. One, two, three, four, five, five. See, optimism pays off. All right, so we're going to sing Happy Birthday to the Adults.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
If the children would like to leave and go into their respective groups, follow the people that you need to follow. If you don't know who to follow, ask an adult who looks like they know what they're doing. And as they leave, we will pray a prayer for them and for their teachers. Let's pray for the children and their leaders. Heavenly Father, we thank you for children. We thank you that they are such a blessing, Lord. And you have blessed us with their presence in the church in great number. Lord, we pray for them this morning as they go to their respective groups. Lord, and I pray that they are open to receive with joy all that the leaders have prepared. Lord, that your name will be glorified and that they will have fun learning about you and about things in your Holy Bible. We thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now with that, we're going to come into a time of prayer, and I've asked Adrian to come up and lead us in that time. Adrian?
Let us pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, and we thank and praise you for this glorious morning, Lord. A glorious morning where we can come and worship you and just enjoy your presence and soak up your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, as we enjoy the day, we know that it comes from you. So, Lord, we look at all the good things that have happened this week, all the new things that have started. We thank you for blessing all the different things that started this week and are starting next week, that the cafe church is going well and the crochet club went well yesterday. And Lord, we pray for the Bible study, D Digging Deeper, or whatever it's going to be called, Lord, that that will go well this week when the youth meet for a Bible study for the first time in quite a long time. Lord, we just ask you to inspire the leaders and open the hearts and the minds of the children, Lord. Lord, we care so deeply for our children, whatever age they are. And Lord, we just ask you to bless each and every one of them and pour out your Holy Spirit on all of them. Lord, we think about those that are currently either not feeling well or have been in hospital. Lord, we just ask you to pour out that healing touch that only you can provide, Lord, to each and every one of them. Lord, you know who they are. And Lord, we don't want to give you a great big list of people, but Lord, we just raise them up to you, Lord, and ask you to bless them. Lord, just bless this church in everything we do. Lord, we just ask in the bigger, wider world, Lord, that you will help guide our leaders all over the world, Lord, to make it a more peaceful world, that where there is war, you will provide peace. Where there is hunger, you will provide food, Lord. And Lord, we think of all the things that are going wrong in the world all over, and it's all our fault, our man's fault. It's not your fault. If we listen to you and follow you, Lord, that these things would not be happening. So, Lord, we lift our church here, Sittingbourne, and the whole world up to you, Lord, and we ask you to bless it, encourage it, and just give the right ideas to the people in power so that they can do your will, not their will. So we ask for all of these things in your glorious Son's name. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you, Adrian. Now it's time to give ear to God's word as I was preparing for this service and really trying to reflect and give meditation to what Nathan might be sharing in this upcoming new sermon series that we're about to embark on. It came to mind, these verses, they're well known. They're in a couple of the Gospels, and I'm going to read from Luke in chapter 7. And it says this: "For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from bramble bushes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks." So when we speak and our heart is overflowing, what we speak just reflects our heart condition. And so with that in mind, we're going to come into another time of praise and worship, and we're going to sing three songs together that talk about that reflecting on the heart and our need for Jesus. We are absolutely in need of him. If you think that you can get saved and then say to Jesus, "No worries, I've got it from here on now," then you're understanding what the gospel of salvation is all about. He paid the price for our sins, but he looks to us to continue to walk holy before him. So I'm going to explain. So here we are. The first song that we're going to sing is "Purify My Heart." Then we're going to go into an old hymn, "Just As I Am," singing in the first tune with that. But it's got many verses, "Just As I Am." But we're only going to be singing three verses. And we're going to leave that song as if it reflects that state of our need for the Lord. And then we're going to go into a kind of new but old song. I'll explain that when we get to it. So let's stand and sing "Purify My Heart" and "Just As I Am." So we're going to go on to this new stroke old hymn. It is an old one. Many will know it, but many will not. But what we're going to do, it follows this pattern. Verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, chorus. There's no bridge. This is what's so good about the old hymns that were straightforward. But just so you can hear, for those that haven't heard it before, we're going to do verse one and then chorus, right? Just for you to pick up the melody. And then we're going to go back again right to the start, and we're going to do the four verses and the four choruses, all right? So verse one, verse chorus, so you can get to hear it. Then we'll go back and we'll start the song off proper. Okay. Jesus paid it all.
Jesus.
Please take a seat. I did forget to say before we started that song, and just after this song, Nathan is going to come and open up the word. But if you're not ready, I can lift a prayer to God. You're ready just to come straight up?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Amen. Good morning to you all. Good to see you all this morning. The sun is shining, and I see your smiley faces. So that looks like we're in a good mood, which is great. But even more so than the sun that's shining and a good mood, we're here today to give praise and to give thanks and to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. And he's our Lord. And that's why we are here today. Let's go before him just briefly in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to be here together this morning to worship you and to give thanks to your holy name. And Lord, as we've just been singing, Lord, about your wonderful plan of salvation, how you loved us so, so much that you sent your only begotten Son to come in to this world in which you created and to stand in the gap, to take our place and to go to Calvary to purchase our salvation with his own blood. And we're grateful this morning for the cross, and we're grateful for the empty tomb. And we are grateful that we are now people of the way, people of the resurrection. We are people of the blood washed, those who have been purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And we give you thanks this morning. And Lord, now as we come to feast on your holy word, we pray that you would give us receptivity of heart, that we would be glad to receive what thus says the Lord this morning. Would you anoint me as your servant? Lord, I'm not feeling my best this morning. I pray that you'd give me strength to my throat. And Lord, I pray that you would just give me the power to speak your word with boldness and with clarity. And when it's all said and done, we'll be careful to give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brian and the worship team, for leading us beautifully in worship today. And as you've heard, we are starting a brand new sermon series, which is going to take us right through to the second week of June. And then we're going to move on to talking about our theme for the year, the Holy Spirit and overflowing in the Holy Spirit. So this is going to take us right up to the second week in June. And the series is entitled Watch Out. Can we say that together? Watch out. Yes. Now, of course, as Christians, we have been called to walk in freedom. Through Jesus Christ, we have been set free from sin and from death. But the Word of God, the Bible, in both the Old and the New Testament, there are several passages that the writers pen for our teaching and for our learning, certain things that we should look out for, that we should watch out for, that we should avoid as Christians. So we're going to take a look at some of those things right up until the second week in June. And today, our first part of this series, we're looking at the subject of watch out for gossip. Watch out for gossip. And I've entitled it today, Ditch the Dirt. There's a well-known phrase, dish the dirt. But I want to say this morning, let's ditch the dirt and let's dish out the gospel. I want to read today from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and reading from verse 11 to 20. I've got to be careful this morning, not get too excited. My throat, I've got about 25% left, I can feel it. But I want to read from verse 11. It says, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he says, I have made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you, for I am not in the least inferior to the super apostles. Even though I'm nothing, I persevered in demonstrating among you the marks of a true apostle, including signs, wonders, and miracles. How were you inferior to the other churches, except that I was never a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. Now I'm ready to visit you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possessions, but you. After all, children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. So I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. If I love you the more, will you love me less? Be that as it may, I have not been a burden to you, yet crafty fellow that I am, I caught you by trickery. Did I exploit you through any of the men I sent to you? I urged Titus to go to you, and I sent our brother with him. Titus did not exploit you, did he? Did we not walk in the same footsteps by the same Spirit? Have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? We have been speaking in the sight of God as those in Christ, and everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. For I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be, here it is, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. We're going to highlight that one there, gossip, slander, and gossip. I want to come now to chapter 13 and verse number 11. Paul closes out the letter by saying this: "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love, peace, will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss, and all God's people here send their greetings. And finally, which we repeat so often here in church, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Amen. It's time to ditch the dirt. It's time to ditch the dirt. Church, a few weeks ago, I preached a message entitled "Dealing with Life's Disappointments." And one of the points that was raised a few weeks ago concerning life's disappointments is the reality that disappointments in life, they will arise when our personal expectations in a person or a place or whatever it may be, it falls beneath our expectation of what we expect to find or to see. Every single one of us, friends, we live our lives each day with a standard of set expectations. And those expectations, each and every day as we journey throughout life, they are either fulfilled as expected, or in some cases, we are left disappointed because our expectations are not met. Let's just think about expectations for a moment. It's the reason why many spend thousands of pounds each year on student loans, undertaking a course of study and preparing themselves for a particular career path, and only to say a few months into the new job, "I don't know if this is for me. This is not what I expected." Or maybe it's a couple, 5 years into their marriage, and they were once stricken in love, but 5 years later, now they're saying to themselves, "I did not expect my marriage to end up this way." It's the simple case that in life, sometimes our expectations are not met. And even on an everyday level, church, When you and I take a trip to our local supermarket of choice, whether it's Sainsbury's or Asda or Morrison's, just to name a few, we all have expectations as we go shopping. We expect to find, when we go shopping, groceries. We expect to find groceries at the grocery store. You expect to find someone at the till. Well, actually, these days, that's not always the case. And even perhaps, those of you who are parents, grandparents here, when you send your kids, your grandchildren to school, you expect, at the very least, that the students will learn something while they are at school. Expectations. Expectations. Next month in this country, there is going to be an air of expectation. Around the country in just a month's time, there is going to be a buzz all around the towns and the high streets, because the England football team will be competing in the European Championships. And despite 57 years of hurt. Now, it's funny, when I was a kid in 1996, it was 30 years of hurt. And now it's 57 years of hurt. And that famous song, It's Coming Home, by Frank Skinner and David Baddiel, that football's coming home. Could it be that this year will be the year for England? Who knows? But despite the 57 years of hurt, there will be expectation around this country. There will be St. George's flags flying all around the country. There will be a buzz. There will be expectation. However, church, even more so than the expectations we have in marriage, even more so than the expectations we have on a platonic level of our relationships, and even more so than the expectations we have in our sporting teams and our places of employment. But I want to leave with you this morning, that this morning, as we gather together as the church of the Lord Jesus, I want to ask you a question today. What do you expect to see and to find? As we gather as the church, what is your expectations? What are your expectations in the church that the Lord Jesus Christ promised to build? Each week, as we gather together in this place, and we collectively unite together in song and in prayer, and we hear the word of God, my question today is, what are your expectations? And church, I feel led by the Holy Spirit all week as I've been preparing, that we should endeavor as the church to have great expectations in the Lord's church. We should have great expectations that the God that we serve is able to do not just average things in the church, not just mediocre things in the church, but as the psalmist lets us know in scripture, that our God is great and greatly to be praised. So if he is great, then I believe the church should have great expectations. So whenever we gather together as a body of Christ, if we're just coming to expect a cute sermon, expect to sing your favorite song, expect to enjoy a nice cup of tea after the service, and a cup of coffee, all those things are okay. But can I encourage us as the body of Christ today, God is able to do so much more than that. He's able to do great things in our midst. Our great God wants to seek and to save that which is lost. He wants to turn someone's life around. He wants to fill us with the precious gift of the Holy Spirit. Our God wants to lift up bowed down heads and ease troubled and confused minds. He wants to set the captives free. He wants to revive and to restore. He wants to mend broken and fractured relationships. He wants to perform miracles in his church. Because the God that we serve, friends, he will not just meet our expectations, but our great God will exceed our expectations. That is the God of the Bible. That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the God, the same God who parted the Red Sea. This is the God who healed the sick and he raised the dead. He's the same God who can take the murderer. He can take the adulterer. He can take the fornicator. He can take the liar, the thief. Whatever you may have done in this life, he can make something beautiful out of your life. That is the great God that we serve. But the question this morning is, what are your expectations? What do you expect to find? You should find in the Lord's church unconditional love. You ought to find in the Lord's church peace that surpasses all human understanding. You ought to find in the Lord's church joy. True joy, not just a fleeting happiness. However, the one thing that we should never expect to find in the Lord's church is this subtle sin. Although it's subtle, it's devastating. It's destructive. And it goes by the name of gossip. The one thing that should not be mentioned, that should not be part and parcel of the Lord's church, is the sin of gossip. Yes, you may find gossip in the staff room. Yes, you may find it in playgrounds around the country. Yes, you may find it in the soap magazines, in Coronation Street and EastEnders and you name it. Yes, you may find it in the celebrity columns online. But the one place, I said I wasn't going to get excited. The one place that we should never find gossip is the church of the living God. Now, what is gossip? Gossip is the casual or unconstrained conversation or reports of other people, typically involving details about another person, here it is, that is either true or untrue. It is the act of talking about another person, talking about their life, their choices, their appearance, while the person themselves is not present in the room or aware that the conversation is taking place. And friends, the Bible is clear. Gossip is a sin and should not be part of the Lord's church. But the reality that, yes, even for Christians, gossip is something that we struggle with. Yes, even for the church, gossip is that one sin that we struggle to keep out of the Lord's church. And church, such was the case right here at the scene of our text this morning. For here we are introduced to the church located in Corinth. It's located in what's now modern day Greece. It was a vibrant region in Paul's day. It boasted two good ports that linked Corinth to Asia Minor and also to Rome. Corinth would be a prominent place for commerce and for trade. It was a bustling city. It was a really vibrant place to live. And Paul here, he arrives on the scene on his second missionary journey to proclaim the good news of Jesus to the people in Corinth. And although it was a really energetic place to live, it was also a place that was filled with promiscuity and with sexual sin and a whole host of immorality. There you would find the practice of worship to false idol gods and pagan practices. But yet still, despite the culture of their day, the gospel of Jesus Christ would bring light into the darkness. It would bring hope in despair. And many in Corinth were saved and brought into the body of Christ. They came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior through the ministry of Paul the Apostle. And now we have a vibrant church in Corinth, energetic and spirit-filled and gifted, anointed in the church at Corinth. However, although God had taken the church out of darkness and into his light, the culture and the systems of that day were still worming its way into the unity of the church. So now you couldn't tell the difference between the church and the world, because the same practices that were taking place in those pagan places of idol worship was now taking place and beginning to seep its way even into the church of the Lord Jesus. And one of the many sins that were plaguing the church in Corinth was the sin of gossip and slander. Look what it says here in verse 20. Paul says, he's talking about, I'm going to come back to visit you, Corinth. And he says, I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be. And in turn, you're not going to find me as you want me to be. In other words, what he was saying to the people is, this is not going to be a cute visit. I'm not going to come and just offer you a nice little calm little sermon. But I'm going to come with a message that some things have got to change around here. I'm going to have to speak with boldness and clarity. And it may rub you up the wrong way. But I'm going to have to come and make myself clear to you that this gossip nonsense has to make its way out of the church. It says, I may not find you as I want you to be. There's gossip, there's slander in the church. And as I was thinking about this week, I want to ask the question to us today, is if the Apostle Paul was to write to us today, to every single one of us here, myself included, at SBC, what would he have to say about us? What would he find in the church today? Would he find the activity of gossip in the Lord's church? Would he find a church that enjoys to meddle in the affairs of other people? Would he find a church that likes to be busybodies, to talk about our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord? It's like the story of a lady by the name of Mildred. She was known as the self-appointed arbiter of the church's morals. And she would keep sticking her nose in other members' private lives. And church members were very unappreciative of her activities, but they feared her enough to maintain their silence. And she made the mistake, however, when she accused a new member by the name of George of being an alcoholic. She saw his van parked in front of the town's only bar and pub one afternoon. So she commented to George and to others, she gossiped and she said, "Look what George is doing. He's at the pub every day." And George, a man of few words, he stared at her for a moment and he just walked away. He did not explain his actions. He did not try to defend himself. He did not deny the accusation. He just said nothing at all. And later that evening, George decided he wanted to get even. So quietly, he parked his van in front of Mildred's house. And he left the van there all night long. I wonder what the members of the church had to say about George's van outside Mildred's house. See, gossip is not a nice thing. And even if you find yourself gossiping about others, and you think that you are just enjoying talking about other people, but in the same vein, it could be that others are talking about you. And the complication here in the text for Corinth, and even for us in churches around the world today, is I want to leave with you just two things. Number one, we're going to look briefly at the effects of a gossiping church. Can we say that together? The effects of a gossiping church. Now, before I go into this, Paul here, he's writing to them in 2 Corinthians, because there were some in the church that were accusing Paul of really performing trickery in the church. They were looking at the exponential growth in the church, and some of the false teachers in the region were claiming that Paul must have used bribery in the church to lure the people into the church for monetary gain. So they accused him that he was not really a true apostle, that he was just basically taking the mick and using the people for his own selfish ambition. But that, of course, was completely untrue. So he writes to them to say, "Listen, I didn't come to take your money." He says in verse 17, "Did I exploit you through any of the men that I sent to you?" He says, "I will gladly spend everything I have just to expend myself, because if I love you the more, will you love me the less?" Paul was not interested in their money. He was interested to see that their lives would come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. But yet still, many in the church were pointing the finger and gossiping behind Paul's back to say, "Paul, he's a fake apostle." And when we think about gossip, even in the church today, here are just some things, and you'll see in your sermon notes, and if you've got a pen, I want you just to write these into your notes. It helps sometimes with remembering if you write it in yourself. And the first thing I want to leave with you, number one, the effects of a gossiping church today, number one, is that gossip can cause hurt and emotional pain. Gossip can cause hurt and emotional pain. Whenever someone is, it's brought to their attention that someone is gossiping about them, it's not a nice feeling. It brings about an emotional response. It breaks the trust in the church. And now, instead of coming together as the body of Christ just to worship God, to give thanks and to pray and to sing together, now we're coming and it's almost as if we've got our eye to one side. I wonder who's gossiping about me. I wonder who's talking about me. It causes hurt and emotional pain. Number two, gossip also leads to sharing potentially inaccurate information, which adds to the sin. Because now, if it's not true, we're spreading something that is false, baseless. It's not accurate. Number three, it's a waste of time. The time spent in gossiping could have been used in sharing the good news of Jesus. It's a waste of our time as a church. But then fourth and finally, the effects of a gossiping church, it also causes division in the church. Division. And we would see this in the church at Corinth. There were some were claiming that I am of Paul. Some were saying I am of Apollos. There were different strands now beginning to fester in the church. And can I encourage each and every one of us as the body of Christ here at SBC, we should never allow gossip to cause division in the church. Because that is the plan of the devil. To tear us apart, to sidetrack us, so that our focus will be taken off worship and serving and fulfilling the Great Commission. Take our eyes off that and doing the things of gossip. So Paul here in the challenge, he was very transparent with the Corinthians. He identified where they were at in terms of their problem, gossip and other sins. And I believe for each and every one of us, and as a church here at SBC, a church that is healthy will do some self-analysis. And we will see within ourselves, individually and collectively, do we need to root out the sin of gossip? And we all play a part in this. We all can play a part and take responsibility and accountability that we refute and we discard the sin of gossip. Amen? But then, finally today, I want to leave with you not just the effects of a gossiping church, but also the effects of a non-gossiping church. What are the effects of a church that does not gossip about each other? In chapter 13, verse 5, Paul goes on to tell the church, he says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? He challenged the church to test themselves. Look at those things that are not of God. Deal with them. Repent of them. Bring them to God and root them out of the church. And here are the fill in the blanks for the effects of a non-gossiping church. Number one, healthy relationships and a safe church environment. Can we say healthy relationships? Yes. When a church is not involved in gossip, there will be healthy relationships. Hallelujah. Number two, a greater sense of honesty and transparency. This is key. Because now, if there's healthy relationships and each of us are confident that no one is involved in gossip, then that will mean now there will be a greater sense in the body of honesty and transparency. So that means now if I have a problem, if I am struggling with something in my life, then I won't have any fear that I can go to my fellow friend in the church and share it with them and not have the fear that next week all of my business is going to be put on Facebook. Because that will be the trust that we have with each other. That if I share something with Brian, I know he's going to have my back. He's not going to share it with David. He's not going to share it with others. But there's going to be trust, honesty, and transparency. And as a result of that, now there can be healing. Because if we're only keeping things in and we're not sharing because of fear that people are going to gossip about our business, then sometimes we will pent up things in our hearts because there's a fear of sharing it and letting it out. So there will be a greater sense of honesty and transparency. But number three, this is what I love. There will be a positive witness to non-Christians. I love this. And to the local community. Because believe it or not, to those who are non-Christian, they have a perception of church. And for those in our community, unfortunately, as Christians, we don't have a good report when it comes to gossip. And sometimes those who are not yet saved, they will say, I don't want to come to church because church is a place of gossip. I don't want to come to church because all they do is just gossip about each other. But if we are a church that eradicates gossip from the body, then when people come in, they will be blessed and they will be encouraged to see that there is safety here. And it will be a positive witness to our community that we are a body of faith and of believers that will not be involved and engaged in gossip. I'm looking forward to testimonies where people will come in and say, you know what, church? I had this perception about you all, but I was so wrong. Oh, I was so wrong. Because here I find love. Here I find grace. Here I find support. Here I find unity. That is the testimony that we want to share with the church. Can we go back to the thank you. And then finally, yes, there will be unity in the church. Now, in closing, I want to deal with this because Nathan, okay, that's all well and good, but what if I'm on the receiving end of gossip right now? Or what if it's already taken place, I'm aware of it, and I don't know how to deal with it? Let me just leave this with you from God's word. Jesus lets us know in Matthew chapter 18. He lets us know and he gives us the template and the rubric of how we are to deal with information or mishaps or broken relationships within the church. Because if there is a problem between me and David has a problem with me, then Jesus says, this is what you ought to do. If you have a fault or you find fault or an ought with your brother or your sister, you go directly to the person. You don't talk to Jane, you don't talk to Mike, but you go directly to the source. And you have an honest conversation. You say, you know what? I didn't really like what you said, or I got this impression. Can we have a chat about this? Can we work it out together? That is the biblical route of dealing with conflict in the church. But then if you are unable to resolve it one-to-one, then the Bible lets us know that we should take someone else with us as a witness. So now we can go to someone and say, will you come in and sit with us and be the mediator in the conversation? Just to help us in the conversation, because we've hit a brick wall and we can't seem to work our way out of this. So will you come alongside and just provide that support as a mediator to help us to see if we can get back on the right track? How many of you have ever been a mediator before? Just to come alongside and help. Yes. And by the grace of God, God can help us through the mediator to be able to iron things out so that the relationship can be restored. And then if that doesn't work, we then take it to the church. So now you can come to me, or you can come to one of our deacons, and they can offer some guidance and support in this situation. And I know, because we are a forgiving community, we don't have to go on to the final stage where Jesus says, if that doesn't work, then, yeah, you know the story. But that is what the Lord Jesus wants of us as a church. That it doesn't have to get to that final stage where now we just walk away. But that we can deal with conflict one-to-one or with the help of a mediator, so that we can get back on track and restore that fractured relationship. In closing, church, we have so much to do than to preoccupy ourselves with idle gossip. Souls need to be saved. The community needs to be transformed. It's time for the church to wake up, just like Corinth, for us to get on one accord, and for us to root out gossip and slander, and for us to be about the Father's business. So let's ditch the dirt and spread the gospel. Let's say that together. Let's ditch the dirt and spread the gospel. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in your word we find so much relevance to every situation in this life. And Lord, I want to pray for us collectively first, as a congregation, as a local church, that we too, like the church in Corinth, would self-analyze and look within our own lives, individually and collectively, to see if we are struggling with the sin of gossip. Because Father, we know that it's not your will for us as a body to be preoccupied with the sin of gossip. Because you have so much for us to do. You have great things in store for us as a church. And you don't want us to be weighed down by gossip and by slander. But secondly, I also pray for anyone here today, whoever it be in the past, in another church, or even if it's been in this church, in the past that has been let down by a fellow brother or sister, that's been let down because something they shared has been spread around the church or spread around groups. Lord, I just pray that, Father, we would receive your restoration power today. That, Father, we would forgive each other. That we would let those feelings go so that we can come back together as one body and one family of faith. Father, we pray also for our community. We pray for those who have not yet come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. We pray that through your Holy Spirit that you would tear down those perceptions of church, that you would tear down those misguided perceptions, and that, Father, as they come in, that they would see within the body that we are not full of gossip and idle talk, but that we are serious about the Father's business, and that we are a place of love and of grace, and we're also a place of safety. So, Father, would you bless this church? Would you bless us with unity that comes from you? And would we endeavor as believers to root out all forms of gossip and all forms of slander? For your name's sake, would you continue to bless your church? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The worship team are coming back. And today I want to express and call to anyone here today who wants to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ himself was on the receiving end of gossip. Many of the Pharisees and the religious leaders would gossip about Jesus. They would call him a whole host of different names. That was not the case. They called him a blasphemer. They called him of Beelzebub, of the devil himself. But Jesus Christ was the true light that came into the darkness. And I want to offer to you today a chance and an opportunity to get to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you're here today and you want to know more about Jesus, then after the service, please do meet us in the prayer corner. It's to my right, to your left, just in the back there. And there'll be our prayer partners that will love to pray with you and for you. And we would love to share with you the plan of salvation. Amen? Yes. Amen. Worship team.
Thank you, Nathan. Thank you for opening up the word, telling us that gossip is bad and destructive. And that last slide, what did it say? Ditch the dirt and preach the gospel. Well, we're going to close with our last song. And the first line of it is, the first line is going to give you a clue to what the song is. These are the days of Elijah declaring the word of the Lord. But just before we get too excited and want to get straight into that, just want to say that you're all very welcome to join us in the lounge through the door there at the end of the service for teas and coffees. And if you want to give in to financially to the work that goes on this church for the Lord, there's a little box in there with at the back near the door that you can put money in an envelope. And there's a little tap thing, little digital tap. If you're digital, just tap the thing and do what it says on the screen, and you'll be given to the church doing that. So without further ado, let's stand and sing our last song, These Are the Days of Elijah.
These are the days of your servant, Lord.
just want to leave you with this benediction, and this is taken from Romans, and it says this: Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. Please stay behind for some coffee. Thank you. David's going to come.